Yet how many of us have drills in our garages? One of the reasons our homes become so cluttered in the first place is that before we buy stuff, we buy into the assumption that we should be stockpiling everything in our homes that we might ever need. Even if we haven't used something in years, we hold on to it just in case. The truth is, we don't all have to own everything. We could just own the basics and the things that are personal to us, and then find different ways to get hold of more rarely needed goods and services as we need them. The following alternatives will help you save space and reduce clutter in many areas of the home, but they are especially useful in the garage and yard. Borrowing. If you just keep the basic tools in your workshop, you might occasionally find yourself in need of an unusual tool for a specialized project. If so, don't go out and buy it. Ask a friend or acquaintance to let you borrow his. Renting. Sure, you could own your own pressure washer, but the reality is that years are going to go by between times when you pressure wash the exterior of your home. Rent a pressure washer as needed instead. If the rental fee for this or another tool seems steep, remember that you're saving the purchase cost as well as the clutter cost that comes with storing any item you own. Hiring. If keeping the lawn mowed and the shrubbery trimmed isn't something you enjoy, then maybe you could get rid of all your lawn care equipment and hire a lawn care company or neighbor kid to do that work for you. According to one study, people who spent money to buy themselves time, such as by outsourcing disliked tasks, reported greater overall life satisfaction. Today is the day to rid yourself of anything that distracts from your best life. #minimalisthome. Curb appeal. Now let's step outside and enjoy the fresh air for a moment. There's one more place to minimize, the yard. Not everyone has, needs, or wants a yard. But if you've got one, then you know that it, just like your house, can contribute to the feelings of clutter, mess, and distraction you feel. On the other hand, if you minimize it well, you can turn it into a space that creates the context for a peaceful, orderly, and lovely place to live. About 60% of people in the United States live in detached family dwellings and therefore have a yard to take care of. It may be postage stamp size, or it may be a substantial acreage, but it's usually a valuable and versatile space. The front yard often presents a more public face, while the backyard is typically more dedicated to family fun. If you can pry them away from their electronic devices and shoo them out the door, your kids will learn to love playing in the yard and will create many memories there. Gardeners dream about springtime and creating living beauty in their yards. Yards provide space for pets to roam. A yard can be a wonderful place to invite friends over to enjoy a picnic and watch the sunset. Even the driveway can be a place for shooting hoops or trying out a new pair of skates. Again, we can see specific purposes for this. Despite all these advantages of owning a yard and the traditional importance of a yard to family life, the size of yards is actually decreasing these days. The average lot of a new home in the United States is now 0.19 acres, down 13% since 1978. The reason for this shrinkage, apparently, is economic. Today's bigger houses cost more, and one way to save money is to buy a smaller lot. One journalist commented, "Forced to choose between having a bigger lawn and a bigger house, Americans who live near economic hubs are picking the house." The same phenomenon is occurring in Australia and other nations. Minimalism can't make your yard bigger, but it can help you make the most of the yard you've got. Maybe through minimizing, you'll get out more, enjoy nature more, have more outdoor fun with your family, get more exercise, and interact more with your neighbors. You know, exactly what a yard is for. Minimalist home value. Natural living. If I had any doubts about whether minimalism is a good thing, which I haven't in a long time and never will again, all I would have to do would be to remind myself of how perfectly minimalism interlocks with other great human ideals. Ideals such as peace, restoration, cleanliness, health, beauty, and order. Responsibility, restraint, focus, and a concern for others and our common home, the earth. Intentionality, individuality, humility, restraint, frugality, and indifference to society's everlasting hustle. Contentment, gratitude, and generosity, along with creativity, growth, productivity, and optimism. And do you know what part of the minimalist home reminds me of this constellation of magnificent values the most? It's the yard, or as our Brit friends term it, the garden. The home's setting, if we will just desist from cluttering it up, offers a peaceful meeting place for people and nature. Step-by-step minimizing for your yard. What are your goals for your yard? To create a place for peace? To grow beautiful things? To have an outdoor space the kids and their friends will want to play in? To spend less time taking care of it? Minimalism can help with all of these goals. Step 1. Remove decorative, ornamental items. Garden centers are happy to sell us yard decorations, just as home decor stores push decorations for inside our homes. Whether inside or outside, we don't need as many decorations as most of us have. If your yard displays a lot of decorations, especially kitschy stuff of the garden gnome or plastic flamingo sort, rethink the wisdom of that. Please, I speak on behalf of your neighbors here. Maybe you don't need any yard decorations at all. The landscape's beauty may stand out all the better without any artificial adornment. If you do want yard decorations, don't use too many of them, and keep them simple and tasteful. Some kinds of yard ornaments and accessories, such as water features and bird baths, can help to create a natural environment that conveys peace and charm. Carry the less is more approach over to outdoor seasonal decorations as well. Using a smaller number of well-chosen Christmas or other holiday decorations can be just as festive and a lot more elegant than a bunch of glittery, whirling, blow-up, lighted, and musical decorations. A simple set of holiday decorations will also require less time for setup and takedown and will occupy less storage space in the off-season. Step 2. Eliminate unnecessary outdoor furniture. Does your yard have furniture in it? A patio set beside a grill, perhaps? Or a picnic bench? How about a hammock strung between trees? Seats encircling a fire pit? Can you thin out the furniture? To help you make the decision, think about which pieces help you enjoy the outdoors and which pieces mostly just clutter it up. Step 3. Remove unused play items. Homes with kids in residence tend to have a lot of play items in the yard. Rope swings, play sets with slides, trampolines, swimming pool, sandbox, treehouse. I know you want your kids to have fun in the yard, My wife and I like to have a fun yard so that our kids invite their friends to our house and we can keep an eye on things. Still, it's possible to overdo it. What outdoor play items are your kids no longer playing with? Take them away. Are there any that are broken or that stand out as contributing to the cluttery look of the yard, perhaps because they are so large? Remove these. Teach kids to put outdoor toys such as soccer balls and badminton rackets away where they belong after the kids are done playing with them. Step 4. Simplify your gardening. People like me who love gardening understand how relaxing and rewarding it can be to work in the soil to create a beautiful flower bed or a vegetable and herb garden. The patience and cyclical nature of gardening are a lovely match for the ethos of minimalism, standing against the hurry and greed of an acquisitive society. So if you garden in your yard, good for you. Give yourself more time to spend enjoying your plants by minimizing your gardening gear. It's just like cooking or indoor hobbies. You can do more with less. Keep the gardening tools you find yourself going back to over and over. Get rid of the ones that just sit on the shelf. Favor standard tools over gimmicky gadgets. Gardening isn't a fancy hobby, and you don't need to get fancy with your gear. Anything else you can get rid of? Pots and trays you brought home from the plant nursery and don't need anymore? Duplicate watering cans you could reduce to one? A bent trowel or that set of support stakes you never use? Simplify and enjoy. May the bouquet of flowers you gather from your garden stand out like a work of art in your minimized homescape. I hope the fresh herbs and vegetables you harvest in the garden will inspire you to create delicious, fresh dishes in your clutter-free kitchen. Step 5. Transition to a more natural, easy-to-care-for landscape. A living environment is always changing. That's part of the fun and challenge of having a yard. It's also an opportunity. You can make changes in your lawn, trees, and shrubs so that your yard will be simpler to take care of and create the experience you want. This isn't instant minimalism, but it is minimalism you can start as soon as you're ready. Could you reduce the area of grass that you have to mow, replacing the turf with hardscape such as gravel? Use water-thrifty perennials instead of thirsty annuals? Replace imported species with native ones that are hardier and require less watering and work on your part? Your landscape is the ongoing work of art inside the frame that is your yard. Minimizing checklist. How will you know when you've cleared out enough clutter and excess from your garage and yard? Ask yourself these questions. For the garage, is this garage a welcome sight when I return home each day? Does my garage communicate calm and control? As much as possible, is it easy to maneuver in my garage? Am I no longer embarrassed to leave my garage door open and allow the neighbors to see inside? Am I confident I have removed everything from my garage that is no longer needed? For the yard, if applicable, does my outside space bring me joy when I look at it or spend time in it? Does the outside of my home communicate hospitality? You did it. To your neighbors and people who drive by, your minimized yard will be a statement about the priority of natural beauty and peace over clutter. When you tap the garage door opener and drive into your minimized garage, a sense of peace will surround you even before you get out of your car. We've gone not only from easier to harder, but also from inside to outside. And now your home is ready to welcome you into its domain of calm and order. The garage slash yard area of minimizing is the capstone of the transformation you've given to your house. Review it all. As you stroll from one uncluttered room to another, what spacious areas delight you the most? I'm sure you're going to love your new home, where you can dwell in comfort while being better able to focus on people rather than on things and to live a more intentional life. The minimalist home is not done yet. I still have to show you how to keep your home minimized. Also, I've got some very important things to say about ways you can capitalize on your hard work of decluttering. But for now, savor your achievement and celebrate it with your loved ones. Your home minimalism makeover is complete. Good for you. Action recommendation. To mark the completion of your home decluttering, have a friend over to share lemonade on your porch and hear your story. Or invite some neighbors over for a barbecue and show them around the place while the burgers are grilling. Bask in the beauty of your home and newfound freedom. Minimalism Maintenance Guide. Becoming minimalist is one thing, staying minimalist is another. If you've followed the step-by-step guidelines of the preceding chapters, you've decluttered your entire home. It may have taken days, weeks, or months, but regardless, it was a one-time process. You're done with that. I hope and believe that you're loving the results. I bet you feel like you can breathe and relax in your home in a way you haven't in a long time. I imagine you're excited about devoting more of your time, money, and energy to the people and the passion projects you care about. Don't you want to keep those good feelings going? You can. It's a matter of instituting routines to keep your home clutter-free. Fail to follow these routines, and I'm afraid you'll find yourself living in the same cluttered home you just spent so much time and effort minimizing. But keep them going, and you'll find that you're still enjoying the benefits of minimalism a month, a year, even 10 years from now. For this purpose, I'm going to give you some guidelines to follow daily, weekly, periodically throughout the year, and in different seasons of life. Some of these guidelines might seem onerous at first glance. But trust me, after you've minimized your house, they really aren't a hardship. Maintaining your minimalism, in fact, is a whole lot less work than having to repeat your minimizing if you let your home get cluttered again. In a way, it's ironic that I'm writing a book about living uncluttered. For much of my life, I left beds unmade, failed to put books back on the shelf, filled the sink with dirty dishes, and dropped clothes on the floor. But minimalism changed the nature of the chores in our home. And it changed me too. I live differently now in the kitchen, the bedroom, all over the house. I changed, so can you. To avoid any misunderstanding, let me point out that this minimalism maintenance guide isn't about cleaning. It's not about wiping the baseboards or dusting your fine furniture. It's also not about repairs and what we usually refer to as maintenance around a home. Things such as fixing a broken window latch or replacing the furnace filter. As necessary as cleaning and repairs are, what I'm referring to here is keeping a home minimized, efficient, and effective for the people inside it. Since every home and family are different, some of the following guidelines may not apply to you, and there may be others you could think of to add to the lists for your home. But start with these lists to establish regular home care practices that keep your home easy to live in and easy to love. Refer back to this section as often as you need to, until these routines become like second nature to you. Now, will you always be perfect at keeping up with these guidelines? Of course not. So don't feel burdened by this advice. Just be as regular with these routines as you can, and that should be enough. How to change your buying habits. Overbuying was the biggest reason you got in your clutter mess in the first place, right? Now that your home is minimized, you have to buy less if you're going to stay minimalist. It's always better to avoid bringing home a new item that you don't need than it is to have to get rid of it later. Apply the "Do I really need this?" question before an item crosses over from being in the retailer's possession to being in yours. Here's help. Avoid triggers. Ask yourself why you have overbought in the past. Does boredom inspire you to go recreational shopping? Does buying something make you feel better about yourself for a little while? Do you engage in impulse shopping to show off in front of your friends? Find a better way to respond when these emotional triggers activate. Impose a temporary shopping moratorium on yourself. If you think going cold turkey might help you break your addiction to shopping, pick a period of time, maybe 90 days, when you'll buy nothing but consumables, such as groceries. Just live with the clothes, books, tools, and other durable goods you've already got. You'll probably find it's not a hardship at all and will help you break a bad shopping pattern. Become a savvy buyer. By this, I mean understanding the strategies that marketers use to convince you to buy things you don't need. Don't be seduced by sales tactics or let yourself feel pressured by limited time offers. Calculate in your head the clutter cost and add it to the price tag. Is the benefit greater than the burden or the other way around? You're the buyer, so you should be in charge of the shopping experience and buy just what you intend to. Be calculating about your shopping. Do product research and make purchases online when appropriate. When going to brick and mortar stores, consolidate your shopping to the minimum number of trips. Make a list and stick to it. When you get home with just what you need and no more, congratulate yourself and think about the money and hassles you saved yourself. Daily maintenance guidelines. Clutter attracts clutter. If you drop the mail on the kitchen counter, someone else is going to find it natural to leave his keys there. A dresser with receipts is also going to collect coins. A purse dropped in the entry is soon going to be joined by shoes and gloves. An empty soda can on the end table usually winds up with a few candy wrappers next to it. When you're diligently tidying an area daily, which isn't hard if you stay on it, you are less likely to lose control of that area. If you see any space in your home that gets cluttered with unnecessary things more frequently than every 2 or 3 days, it's a place that you should put on your daily habit list. These practices will get you started. Straighten up the bedroom. Make the bed, put away clothes, and unclutter dresser tops. Establish rules with your kids about straightening up their own rooms. Put paper where it belongs. Stay on top of incoming paper and office clutter by handling it the day it arrives. Junk mail and newspapers in recycling, important papers in folders. Put back toys. Realistically, life doesn't allow a clean toy room every evening. But if you have a toy room apart from your family room, Spend 60 seconds returning toys to the places where they belong. Or better yet, get your kids into the practice of doing it themselves. Clean up homework. Teach your kids the habit of putting away their schoolwork each night before bed, rather than scrambling around in the morning trying to find it. Tidy the living room and family room. High-use areas can be cluttered and disarranged by the entire family. Walk through at the end of each day and straighten up these spaces. Store media out of sight. Put away all video games, charging cords, and computer accessories that were used during the day. Check the entryway. Particularly if the yard is snowy or muddy, you may need to organize the boots, coats, and other things in your foyer or mudroom. The cooler the weather, the more layers get shed just inside the door. Reset the kitchen. Wash dirty dishes and put them away. Likewise, put away utensils or pots and pans that don't belong on the counters. It's a wonderful thing to go to bed knowing that you'll wake up to a clean kitchen for breakfast. Return things left out in the bathroom. When we're in a hurry getting ready in the morning, it's easy to leave out things such as hairbrushes, makeup applicators, razors, and blow dryers. Rectify that problem when you get home by putting everything back where it belongs. Weekly maintenance guidelines. Stuff regularly enters our homes. It comes in from school, church, the grocery store, shopping, online stores, gifts, and so on. But most of us don't have regular routines to remove these items, so they just seem to stay with us. These weekly cleaning tasks provide opportunities to reverse the flow. Take out the trash and recycling. Use this time not just to toss garbage, but to look for things around the home that you can remove. Wash, dry, fold, and put away the laundry. As you're doing this, notice wardrobe items that never or rarely show up in the laundry, because if they're not getting worn, that's a clue you can probably get rid of them. Clean the bathrooms. Any empty product containers or other items you can get rid of? The larger your family, the quicker the containers of consumables are going to empty. Yearly maintenance guidelines. Different seasons, turning points, and special occasions that we cycle through each year offer opportunities for refreshing the minimalism of our home. Make creative use of these times to bring your home minimalism up to date. After Christmas and birthdays. If you or your kids received toys or other presents, are there any that you want to re-gift while they're still new? What old things can you get rid of to make room for the new ones you're keeping? After any holiday you decorate for. Is it time to retire any of the holiday decorations? Take down and neatly put away the ones you're going to keep. After filing your taxes, what papers can be digitized, shredded, or recycled? Spring cleaning. Embrace the old tradition of using springtime to do a deep cleaning and purge of unneeded possessions in your home. The annual neighborhood garage sale. A garage sale is a time-consuming way to make very little money. But maybe your neighbors don't know that, and you can add your items to the sale they're having in their garage. The start of a new school year. Reevaluate your kids' clothes, backpacks, and school supplies. What new things do they need? And what comparable amount of things can you get rid of so that you can maintain the equilibrium? The transition from the warm season to the cool season, or vice versa. If you have different sets of winter clothes and summer clothes, take a look at what you've got when the time comes to switch. Maybe some items have been outgrown or just never worn. As you're looking at them afresh, you may see some you just don't want anymore. Life season maintenance guidelines. We all go through major life transitions, though they aren't necessarily the same ones and may not come at the same time or in the same order for all of us. With each transition, the "Do I need this?" question becomes relevant in a new way because of our new life context. We may need to re-minimalize ourselves each time, and we'll find new benefits from minimalism that help us make the most of our current season of life. Are you finished with your college studies and starting your career? Getting a full-timer's paycheck can be intoxicating, and consumerism's temptations will be strong. Now is the time to develop the habits of thinking carefully before buying anything, determining to choose quality objects that will last, and taking good care of your possessions. Are you getting married? Be strategic and restrained about what you put on your gift registry. And know that you're likely to have a lot of duplicates you can get rid of when you merge your spouse's stuff with your own. Work with your husband or wife on developing a shared philosophy of minimalism. This partnership will make living minimalist easier for the rest of your life. Are you adding a child to your family? Don't give into the false "I need it all" mentality about parenting gear. Make a list and be rational in your purchases and gift requests. Set up a simple nursery or kid room that enables you to spend more time with your child and less time taking care of his things. This is a chance to start minimalist parenting practices you'll build on for years to come. Are your children going through their own transitions? From babies, to toddlers, to preschoolers, to grade schoolers, to early, mid, and late teens, our kids go through changes faster than we do. Of course, they'll need new clothes and toys as they grow, but with each round of shopping, you can exercise restraint in what you buy, as well as purge items from the previous stage of your children's lives. As they grow, revisit and reinforce boundaries with them, helping them to gradually take more responsibility for maintaining minimalism in the home as they mature. Are you getting a new job, enduring a period of unemployment, trying out a different career path, or starting a business? Maybe you can get rid of some old tools or work clothes to offset the new ones you're bringing in. Maybe you should rethink what you need in your home office. Maybe you can sell some of your stuff to give yourself more ready cash. Are the kids starting their adult lives outside your home? Or have you lost a spouse through death or divorce? When loved ones leave your home, of course you will grieve the loss. But when the time is right, look at their stuff that's left in the home. Keep a few of the best as mementos and get rid of what you can. Is someone moving back in? It seems like it's more and more common these days for an early adult child to move home while establishing a career, or for an elderly parent who needs assistance to move in with a son or daughter. If you have a boomerang child coming into your home, explain your minimalist beliefs and put some boundaries on what she can bring with her. Are you retiring? Can you remove the clothes you wore to your office when you were working? Is it time to rethink your leisure time possessions? How can you simplify the workload around the house to make things easier for yourself? Make the most of your retirement by spending less time on your home and more time on activities that keep you healthy and happy. Your best legacy isn't going to be the possessions you pass down. It's going to be the good you do, the relationships you build, and the memories you leave with others. Restoring gift-giving sanity. According to the National Retail Federation, The average shopper in America spends almost $1,000 on gifts during the winter holiday, mainly Christmas, season. In addition, most of us receive several presents for our birthdays, and then there are all the other gift-giving occasions throughout the year, including Valentine's Day, Easter, and Mother's and Father's Days. And don't forget special occasions, including wedding anniversaries, baby showers, housewarming, graduation, recovery from sickness or surgery, thank yous, baptism or confirmation, bar mitzvahs, and just because. That's a lot of stuff coming into our minimalist homes from well-meaning friends and family. Gift-giving can be a beautiful thing, but if you're determined to avoid returning to over-accumulation in your home, then you're going to have to manage the gift-giving traffic in your home. Tell your friends you don't need a gift. If you let them know you'd rather have well wishes in person or maybe a greeting card, that's better than getting yet another decorative candle or bottle of bath salts you don't need. Change the gift-giving expectation. Request quality over quantity. If requesting no gifts is going to be a tough sell with some people in your life, encourage them to purchase quality over quantity. This is especially helpful when influencing gifts given to your children. Two $25 gifts are usually less clutter than 10 $5 gifts. Ask for consumables instead of durables, and experiences instead of material goods. A fruit basket, a gift certificate to a restaurant, movie passes, a bouquet of hand-gathered wildflowers, show tickets. These are great gifts that don't burden your home with new possessions. Suggest donations to charities on your behalf. It feels great to know that the money that could have gone toward a new sweater you don't need instead went to a school scholarship that changed the life of a child. Let people know what you need. Even after minimizing, you may have some genuine need for new items in your home, such as a coffee maker to replace the one that died last week. Let people know ahead of time what your real needs are. Be specific. Gift lists can be particularly helpful for out-of-town family members, especially when ever-growing and changing kids are involved. Purge guilt-free. As the value of the gifts you receive begins to reveal itself, eliminate the unwanted ones without feeling guilty about it. You've expressed your appreciation. You're not obligated to hold on to the object forever. Nobody wants to burden you with a gift. Part 3. Future. Chapter 11. A Small Suggestion. If you choose to downsize to a smaller home, you'll be able to multiply the benefits you've already acquired through minimizing. A couple of years after we minimized our home in Vermont, my blog was getting to be known, and I was starting to get interview requests with journalists. One humid morning in August 2010, I was sitting on the back porch of a relative's home in Nebraska while I answered questions over the phone for CBS's Christina Hernandez. At one point, she asked me about any sticking points as I tried to practice minimalism. As good interview questions often do, this one pressed me to reflect on my personal experience of minimalism. After a bit of thought, I told Christina that my two big remaining minimalism goals were to get rid of one of our two cars and to downsize to a smaller home. Not long after that, my wife and I experimented with using only one car, but soon went back to using two. I still think the goal of having just one car or even no cars per family is a great one for many people to have. But for us, in a busy season of life with two kids and two jobs, and living in an area with limited public transportation, keeping two cars seems wisest. We were more successful with my other goal of downsizing to a smaller home when we moved from Vermont to Arizona in 2011. The housing market was considerably cheaper in the Phoenix area than in our Vermont hometown, and we could easily have embraced a massive upgrade when we moved. That's what many people in our situation would have done. That's what we would have done before we discovered minimalism and its benefits. But as it happened, we never even considered buying a larger home. Instead, we looked forward to moving into a smaller one. Actually, the smallness of the home wasn't even particularly a goal of ours in itself. We were looking for the optimal home for us, one that fit our young family and promoted our values. It was just that, as minimalists, we knew that an optimal house would be a relatively small one. I was moving to Phoenix to work at a church, and we wanted to live in the same neighborhood where the church met, so that answered the location question for us. As for the house itself, our final list of non-negotiables consisted of 3 bedrooms, a dining room and family room sufficient for entertaining, pleasant outdoor surroundings, and high-quality craftsmanship in the home. We were thankful to find a house that fit our criteria exactly, with no unnecessary extras. Its benefits were great, and its burdens were minor. In moving, we reduced our home size from over 2,200 square feet to less than 1,600 square feet. At the same time, we cut our mortgage payment nearly in half while enjoying higher quality construction and found that we could spend even less time and money in maintenance than for our home back in Vermont. Because of our experience and my observation of others who have benefited from downsizing, I'd like to make a small suggestion to you, if you'll excuse the pun. Might the next step for you be moving into a smaller, minimalist home? I realize downsizing is not for everyone. Possibly you already live in as small a home as your family could get by with. Maybe you love your newly minimized home so much now that you wouldn't dream of leaving it. Those are great reasons for staying put. On the other hand, after what you've done in minimizing your home, maybe you've already begun to see downsizing as the logical next advance to make. Maybe you've realized that you don't really need both a living room and a family room. Maybe the closets and storage spaces that used to seem inadequate now seem excessive. Maybe the guest room you thought was going to get used never is. Maybe you just realize now that your home has more square footage than your family needs. And as a consequence, maybe it's time to minimize not just the possessions inside your home, but the home itself. On average, an individual will move 11 times during his lifetime. Every year, 11% of U.S. citizens move. So you may have an occasion coming up soon when you'll need to think about the kind of new home you want anyway. Moving into a smaller home could be a timely transition for you to start planning. Now might be the time to start applying the "Do I need this?" question to your entire home. Whether or not you've been considering downsizing to this point, let me encourage you to listen to this chapter. I'll be focusing on the benefits of owning a smaller home, and there are a lot of them. For sure, moving is a chore, even after having minimized your possessions. Nevertheless, if you can pull it off, Downsizing is an opportunity for you to make huge additional gains in living simply and intentionally. Moving into a smaller place isn't confining. It opens up so many new possibilities. Less house, more home. Downsize. Hashtag minimalist home. Downsizing for the decades. The advantages of downsizing when you're younger. So many young couples buy the biggest house they can afford as soon as a loan officer says they can be approved for it. And thus they start out a lifetime of carrying heavy mortgage debt. What they don't think about is the flexibility and freedom they're giving up in exchange for square footage. If yours is a younger family, buy only as much house as you need. And don't strain your borrowing capacity more than you have to. Lay the groundwork of a lifetime where you, not lenders, are in control of your financial well-being and lifestyle. The advantages of downsizing when you're older. As people get into middle age and beyond, if they've accumulated some savings and some equity in their home, the assumption is often that they'll reward themselves with a bigger house. And yet, if their nest is emptying out at about the same time, they may have less need than ever for a big house. If you are reaching a point where you have more financial resources, stop to think about the kind of house that would really serve your desired lifestyle best. It might be more about location, configuration, or construction quality than about size. Reasons and seasons for downsizing. There's hardly a more obvious statement that one is choosing to move against the culture's bias towards more and bigger everything than deliberately moving into a smaller home. House sizes have been steadily increasing for decades. In the United States, the average new home size in 1975 was 1,645 square feet. In 2015, just 40 years later, the average new home size was up to 2,687 square feet. At the same time, the average number of persons per household has been dropping slightly. From 2.94 in 1975 to 2.54 in 2015. So the amount of living space per person, on average, has been increasing even faster than the size of our homes. The same trend is happening in most developed nations around the world as affluence expands and fertility rates decline. For many people, a large home is seen as an obvious positive. Why wouldn't you live in a large home if you can get one? Certainly, it's anyone's right to think that way. And if someone has a large family, I would agree that a home with several bedrooms might be what that person needs. Nevertheless, I know, and by now you know, that with bigger homes comes a greater drain on family finances, more space to fill with possessions, and more work to maintain it all. I'm thankful that it appears many in our society are starting to question whether moving into bigger and bigger homes should continue to be a goal for us. A survey conducted by real estate website Trulia shows that, of those homeowners currently living in homes larger than 2,000 square feet, a clear majority, 60%, would choose a smaller home if they were to move. Living space around the world. Average residential floor space per person in square feet in selected countries. Australia, 960. United States, 832. Canada, 779. Denmark, 702. Germany, 587, Greece, 484, France, 464, Sweden, 425, Japan, 379, Spain, 373, United Kingdom, 356, Italy, 335, Russia, 237, China, 215, Hong Kong, 161. Are you among the majority who are thinking small instead of thinking big about your next home? Maybe the time is coming up soon when you'll want to sell the place you've got and move into another home that's cozier, with everything closer at hand and requiring less maintenance. Downsizing could be a great way to position yourself better for the future you've got in mind. Retirement is still the life passage that causes most people to choose to move into a smaller home. But there are actually a lot of appropriate seasons of life when you might choose to downsize. For example, your last baby has gone off to college, you've gotten a divorce or suffered the loss of a spouse, you've taken a new job and it requires you to move to a new area, your income has dropped, making the mortgage and maintenance expenses tougher to cover, you're having health problems and it's getting harder to keep up with things around the home. And there's one more. You've turned into a mighty minimalist, and you just want the advantages that come with living in a smaller home. Whatever your motivation for downsizing, you're going to love the benefits that come with this change. Let me highlight a few. One, more money. We'll be getting into this advantage in more detail shortly, including the exceptions to the rule. But in general, a smaller home costs less to buy or rent and less to maintain. Two, less time and energy spent cleaning and maintaining. If you dislike these tasks as much as I do, you'll be glad to know that minimizing, combined with downsizing, will reduce the time you spend on these chores to the least amount possible. Three, better family bonding. Some people think that having a bigger home with lots of play and conversation areas will be good for their family relationships. But my experience says the opposite. Having more interior space tends to isolate family members in separate parts of the home. A smaller home naturally brings family members into proximity, leading to their having more conversations and doing more things together. Four, less environmental impact. Today's home builders are using construction techniques that are more energy efficient than those of the past. But did you know that the growth in square footage of new homes has wiped out nearly all the efficiency gains? If you move into a smaller home, however, you will be doing something good for the environment by using less energy and fewer natural resources. Five, easier perpetuation of your minimalism. When you move into a smaller home, you'll pare down your belongings even more than you already have. Plus, you won't be as tempted to buy new stuff that you don't need, because there won't be room for it anyway. It's easy to stay on the minimalism wagon when you're living in a small home. Six, wider market to sell. Since a smaller home is also usually less expensive, when you eventually sell your downsized home, the price point should make it affordable to a large percentage of the home-seeking population. Therefore, you should be able to get out of your downsized home more quickly. And those are just the general advantages to downsizing. Who knows what advantages you might find in a smaller home, even beyond what you were initially hoping for after you move in? Maybe you'll be inspired to become a more creative person when you take up residence in a quaint, older neighborhood and get out of that suburban tract where you can have a house of any color as long as it's beige. Maybe by putting your pre-adolescent kids in a bedroom together, they'll socialize better and develop closer bonds. Maybe you and your spouse will rediscover each other when you're actually spending time together instead of tag-teaming on chores. When the right time comes to move, the upside of downsizing is huge, including many personal and unanticipated benefits. That's what many downsizers have found, including Kay Emery of Omaha, Nebraska. I'm quite familiar with her story because she's my mother-in-law. No regrets. A few years ago, following the death of her husband, Kay moved from a 2,400-square-foot house into a much smaller, single-floor condo. Nobody had to talk her into it. She was ready. After living in my house for 33 years, raising three kids, and caring for my husband through his extended fight with cancer, Kay said, I was ready for a change. There were some physical characteristics of the home that were getting difficult for me as I got older, like walking upstairs. But more significant than that, I wanted a new start, a clean slate, a home that was crafted the way I wanted it to be for my next stage in life. She admitted that the process of minimizing her possessions in order to move was not easy at first. There were lots of memories tied up in the 30-plus years worth of things in her home. She had to sort items from her children's childhoods, her recently passed husband's belongings, and sentimental items left by both her and his parents. My daughters came over and helped. It was hard at first, but eventually it became a freeing exercise for me. I was looking forward to a smaller home, but it was definitely difficult to see a dumpster delivered on the first day and face the exercise to come. But it didn't take long for me to get into the swing of it. I ended up hosting two garage sales, taking numerous trips to Goodwill, and filling an entire dumpster of things to remove. All within a short period of time, I couldn't believe it. Whenever my family goes to visit Kay in her condo, she tells me she couldn't be happier in her new space. I spend so much less time cleaning and so much less money on my home, she said. Additionally, moving from a large corner lot, where I was responsible for all the shoveling, mowing, and upkeep, to a smaller lot, maintained by the local HOA, freed up my life considerably, both financially and in time and energy investment. I am able to go out and do things and be with my friends. I'm able to travel with little notice, and I have less worry all around. Also, Joshua, she continued, I am thankful that I have freed up my life to be present and supportive in my friends' lives when they need me. When my husband was sick, especially near the end, I needed my friends and they were there for me. Now I am able to be that person for others. At our stage of life, many of us are experiencing loss, loss of spouses and loved ones, failing health and physical abilities. I truly believe this downsized home has allowed me to be a better friend to those I love in the times they need it most. If I have any regret, it's that we didn't make the move sooner, when my husband was healthier and we could have enjoyed the freedom together. I've become a vocal advocate for downsizing, convincing several of my friends to do the same. Not a single one of them regrets it. We're having too much fun. Downsizing by the numbers. As I said earlier, when we downsized, it cut our mortgage payment in half. My mother-in-law saved money too. And I can tell you that probably you will see financial advantages when you downsize as well. But every home transaction is different, and it's not a simple equation. We have to look at the variables. The reason that calculating relative housing costs when we move is so important is that housing expenses make up such a big part of the typical family's budget. For homeowners, housing expenses accounted for a little over 33% of the average U.S. consumer's